Today is a very auspicious day, the disappearance day of Srila Madhavendra Puri, who was a very special figure in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His disciple, Ishvara Puri, was accepted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his spiritual master. So from the point of view of generations, in the disciplic succession, he's the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the original spiritual master. But because he was playing the part of a devotee to set the example for us, he also accepted a spiritual master. So I will read some verses from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and discuss. Please repeat after me. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila Chapter 9. This chapter describes the tree of devotional service coming from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I begin with text 10. Jaya Sri Madhava Puri Krishna Prema Pura Bhakti Kalpa Tarura Teno Prathama Ankura. All glories to Sri Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is in him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Madhavendra Puri, also known as Sri Madhava Puri, belonged to the disciplic succession from Madhvacharya and was a greatly celebrated sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the third disciplic descendant from Sri Madhavendra Puri. The process of worship in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya was full of ritualistic ceremonies, with hardly a sign of love of Godhead. Sri Madhavendra Puri was the first person in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead and the first to write a poem beginning with the words Ai Dina Dayadrana, O Supremely Merciful Personality of Godhead. In that poetry is the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cultivation of love of Godhead. So, Sri Madhavendra Puri was unique in the disciplic succession. He exhibited ecstatic love of Godhead, which in itself is extraordinary. And specifically, he exhibited love of Godhead in the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. And that was the seed of devotional service that was planted in the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and has become the special feature of the love of Godhead exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, beginning with the six Goswamis. This verse that Madhavendra Puri composed, Ai Dina Dayadranath, is spoken in the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. You may know from the Krishna book or the Srimad Bhagavatam that the greatest devotees of Krishna, the greatest lovers of Krishna, are the damsels of Vrindavan. And when Krishna was a youth, he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura for various reasons, and then he went to Dwarka. And all the residents of Vrindavan were plunged in the ocean of separation from Krishna. But of all the devotees, the gopis, who had the most intense love for Krishna, felt the most intense separation. And of course, among them, the feelings of separation of Srimati Radharani were the most intense. And Madhavendra Puri, by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, was able to get a glimpse, or I would say experience, a glimpse of her feelings of separation. And it is said that this verse that Sri Madhavendra Puri composed was understood by only three people. Only three people in the universe could actually understand the deep meaning of the verse. One was Sri Madhavendra Puri. One was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one was Srimati Radharani. No fourth person could fathom the depths of the feelings of separation in the verse. And the idea of the verse is that Radharani, in the mood of separation, is lamenting that she could not achieve Krishna, she could not achieve Mathura. And thinking of Krishna in separation, her heart was very unsteady. The words may sound simple enough to understand, but the feeling is very deep, and therefore the full import of the words was understood by only three personalities. Now we have come to Krishna consciousness to be happy. Everyone wants to be happy. And generally, philosophers have concluded that the main motivation in all human activity is the desire to be happy. So if we hear that the greatest devotees of Krishna with the most intense love are plunged into the ocean of separation from Krishna, we might wonder where the happiness is. But on the platform of Krishna consciousness, on the absolute platform, meeting and separation are the same. This is a very mysterious topic. Put in very simple terms, one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or any pure devotee, I believe he asked in relation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was always in association with Krishna. Of course, he is Krishna, but he was always also weeping in separation. And Srila Prabhupada replied those symptoms were external manifestations, but internally he was relishing the association of Krishna. So how does this work? The topic of separation is very nicely discussed in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Srila Sanatana Goswami gives the example of fire and ice. When ice is very cold, like dry ice, like it's so cold that if you touch it, it burns. It's cold, but it burns. It's an extreme cold. So the idea is that when one's feelings of separation become intense enough, it becomes meeting. Just like when ice becomes cold enough, it becomes like fire. And fire is just the opposite of ice. But when the ice is extremely cold, it burns like fire. And Lord Krishna is always thinking of the welfare of his devotees. And if it was not in the interest of his devotees, especially his best devotees, most confidential devotees, If it was not in their interest for him to leave Vrindavan and stay away, he would not have done it. So why did Krishna leave Vrindavan and stay away? The answer is that in Krishna's physical presence, I mean, of course, he has a spiritual body, but I mean, in his physical presence, the gopis and other residents were always thinking when they would get to be with Krishna. And even when they were with him, they would sometimes think that, well, we're with him now, but we will be separated. And so they were, even in his physical presence, they were in anxiety, in apprehension of their separation from him. So Krishna thought, if I leave Vrindavan, then the devotees will not be so absorbed in my physical presence, anticipating meeting with me, hankering for meeting with me, lamenting over separation from me. And they can constantly experience my association internally. And so that was the confidential reason for Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. And the one evidence that the happiness that the gopis felt in separation from Krishna was greater than the happiness that they could feel in his association was that they did not leave Vrindavan to be with him. Of course, one could say that they couldn't really relish association with him the same way outside of Vrindavan, in Mathura or Dwarka, but still, they preferred to remain in Vrindavan, relishing feelings of separation, than to go to Mathura, which is very close to Vrindavan geographically, or even Dwarka. So these feelings of separation are very important for us as devotees or aspiring devotees. It is really the mood of separation that impels us in Krishna consciousness. I mean, if we take an ordinary, mundane example, if someone is greedy for money, then that will impel him in his economic pursuits. Without being greedy for money, he would have no impetus. So it's really when we begin to feel separation from Krishna and his devotees, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, from Srila Prabhupada, from our own spiritual masters, that we become more fixed in our determination to achieve their association, which can be accomplished by sadhana and service. I had a sort of similar experience in a more common mundane or ordinary situation. But I had gone to the island of St. Lucia in the Caribbean about 4 years ago, my first visit there. And the family I stayed with were very nice devotees. And it was pretty much the first time in 35 years that I was in a situation where I didn't have any external demands on me. And I decided to use that time to focus on japa. So I was chanting extra rounds every day and just nothing to think about. The family was so nice, that had no expectations, just wanted to serve and facilitate my stay. And reading also, my reading was about japa, and except in the evening I would read from Shruti Kirti Prabhu's book about Srila Prabhupada was the difficulty. And it was such a wonderful experience. I mean, of course, I had to leave, but at the time I was just in the mood of separation. So driving to the airport from their home, well, you know how it is. We try, but still, you know, our eyes wander. We look out the window, and, you know, the trees, and in the case of St. Lucia, the ocean, and the mountains, and the billboards, and the shops, and the people. But I was in such a deep mood of separation, apprehending the separation, I was oblivious to all of that. I just had no interest in it. It seemed to have no meaning, no importance. And I was just like thinking of the experience I had and how I would be missing it, and chanting. So the basis of feelings of separation is attachment, because I had relished my stay there, so you know I had become attached spiritually, become attached to being there and to the family who had facilitated me so nicely. So we need to have those feelings of separation, and they develop naturally. We don't have to cultivate them, but they develop naturally when we become attached to Krishna consciousness, any aspect of Krishna consciousness. And then, to overcome the feelings of separation, or to meet with the person from whom one feels separation, one intensifies one's practices. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in his dedication to his spiritual master in the beginning of his translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So by following the instructions of the spiritual master, one experiences the association of the spiritual master. And the spiritual master means the whole parampara, and ultimately the spiritual world. And then our chanting becomes deeper. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Just chanting, chanting, chanting. There's a reflection of that when a loved one dies. It's called Smashan Vairagya, the renunciation or detachment of the crematorium. In Bombay, the only son of one of the richest Hindu families in the world died in a very ghastly way. It's a bit of a mystery whether it was suicide. There was a lot of indication that it was suicide, although I think some of the family thought it might have been murder. But anyway, so I you know, the family invited me to their home when the body was brought, and I've never seen a lamentation like that. And then at a certain stage the body was taken to the crematorium to be burned. And there was another very wealthy, I mean, not like the Hindujas, but another very wealthy Sindhi businessman who I was friends with. And he came up to me as the body was almost finished being burned. And he said, you know, seeing this, I think, what is the use of this making all this money? You know, I think I should just be like you people. So that's Smashan Vairagya, the renunciation at the burning ghat. That you see everything's temporary, the body's temporary, everything that you've accumulated will be left behind, and what's the use? You end up as a pile of ashes. But then, a few hours pass, a few days pass, you forget, and life as usual. So that is a reflection of genuine feelings of separation from Krishna, which are not temporary, and which are not, and which do not lead to misery ultimately. They lead to ecstasy, or properly speaking, they are a variety of ecstasy. It's like meeting is one variety of ecstasy, and separation is another variety of ecstasy. So this ecstatic love in the mood of the gopis, in separation, was the special contribution of Sri Madhavendra Puri, and that is the defining characteristic of the mood of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now this evening, we will read in detail of Madhavendra Puri's passing away. It was very instructive, extremely instructive. But there is one more verse which I shall read now that gives a hint of it. This is text 11. Sri Ishwara Puri Rupe Ankura Pushtahaila Apane Chaitanya Mali Skanda Upajila. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwara Puri. And then the gardener himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. So this is a metaphor. Madhavendra Puri was the seed, and Ishwara Puri was the next seed of this tree of devotional service, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became the trunk. And then different main disciples or associates became the limbs, like Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, and so on. And then they had their branches, their prominent disciples, and their branches had sub-branches, and thus the tree of bhakti, Chaitanya bhakti, expanded. And in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that ISKCON is also a branch of the Chaitanya tree. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Ishwara Puri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railroad station known as Kumarahatti. Nearby, there is also another station named Halisahara, which belongs to the Eastern Railway that runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. Now, what is the point of describing the railway stations? Yes? Of course, they exist. But there's another reason. Yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that as a devotee, we take pleasure in visiting all the holy places associated with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, this gives us an idea how to get there. As now, I guess, some extent other means of transportation have become more common, but then it was really the railway system that would transport people. Even when I went to India in 1970, only the richest people had cars. No ordinary person had a car. Now, Ishwara Puri appeared in a Brahmin family and was the most beloved disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. This is how the disciplic succession continues. In the last portion of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 8, verses 26 to 29, it is stated, Ishvara Puri Kare Shri Pada Sevana Sva Haste Karena Malamutra Dimarjana Nirantara Krishna Nama Kareya Smarana Krishna Nama Krishna Lila Sunayanukshana Tushtahana Puri Tanre Kaila Alingana Varadila Krishna Tomara Havuk Premadana Se Haite Ishvara Puri Premera Sagara. In the last stage of his life, Srimadavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Ishvara Puri so completely engaged himself in his service that he personally cleaned up his stool and urine. Always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reminding Srimadavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life, Ishvara Puri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus, Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, My dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you. Thus, Ishvara Puri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead. End quote. So this is a very important point, that Ishvara Puri gave himself fully to his spiritual master's service without reservation and without discrimination. Oh, I want to do this, I don't want to do that. He, as it's described, he cleaned his stool and urine, and at the same time facilitated his spiritual master's mood of Krishna consciousness by reciting appropriate pastimes about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures, and chanting the holy names of Krishna. And so his spiritual master blessed him with the greatest treasure of love of Godhead. So we have the regular process of chanting and hearing about Krishna. That's the basic process of purification. And then we also have our service to our spiritual master. Of course, it's also service to the spiritual master to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and follow the process of devotional service. But when we render some special service to the spiritual master to fulfill a particular desire of his, then we may get some special reciprocation from the spiritual master. And in any case, Sri Ishvara Puri was blessed fully by the mercy of spiritual master. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states in his Guruvastaka prayer, Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. End quote. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnava is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. Ishwarapuri pleased his spiritual master by service, and by the blessings of his spiritual master he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada similarly gave his disciples a chance to serve him in his last days. And it's very purifying. I'll give one small example from my experience. I was not in the most inner circle of the devotees rendering personal service to Srila Prabhupada at the end. That was Tamal Krishna Goswami, Bhakti Charu Swami, Bhavananda Prabhu, Bhakti Srut Damodar Swami. But I was there. But there was one service that I never did. And that was that, you know, Srila Prabhupada couldn't move, but he would need to pass water occasionally. And so the devotees had a bottle, a plastic bottle, that they would fit, and then Prabhupada would pass water and the urine would go in the bottle. So somehow the idea formed in my mind that I would like to do this service sometime. Now, I was very for me, one of the best experiences of every day was offering Mangal Arti, or the Darshan Arti, at the time of greeting the deities. And I could just feel so purified by doing that service. So perhaps the day before Srila Prabhupada left, I gently volunteered, it was obvious, I mean, they were getting ready to do that, and I said, I could try that. So I, I sort of touched that private part of Srila Prabhupada's body and put the bottle there, and that I did that, and I felt such a wave of purification. I felt that this is equal to offering like 1,000 Mangal Artis. I mean, I never expected it, but it was like so purified. But anyway, so Ishwarapuri, he did everything for his spiritual master and got such blessings from his spiritual master, that he was accepted as spiritual master by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Ishwara Puri was the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before initiating Lord Chaitanya, he went to Navadvip and lived for a few months in the house of Gopinath Acharya. At that time, Lord Chaitanya became acquainted with him, and it is understood that he served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by reciting his book, Krishna Lilamrita. And it was Ishwara Puri wrote a book called Krishna Lilamrita, and he served Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was young at the time, by reading from his book to him. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Lila, 7th chapter. To teach others by example how to be a faithful disciple of one's spiritual master, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, visited the birthplace of Ishwara Puri at Kamarahati and collected some earth from his birth site. This he kept very carefully, and he used to eat a small portion of it daily. This is stated in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 12. It has now become customary for devotees, following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to go there and collect some earth from that place. The last time I was in Mayapur, on my way to Calcutta, I visited that place, and sacred place, and the devotees said, "You take some dirt from there." But that shows the mood of the cyclic succession. Ishwara Puri's mood in relation to Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood in relation to Ishwara Puri. And coincidentally, it was arranged like that. When I got to Calcutta, the next day I met His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and we were going to visit some of the places associated with Srila Prabhupada's birth and activities as a child and youth. So we visited Srila Prabhupada's birthplace, and we also took some dust from there. And Srila Prabhupada was born under a jackfruit tree. So there seemed like there were some sticks from the jackfruit tree lying there, so we took some sticks. That was very interesting, because ISKCON has acquired that ancestral home. And so, you know, we went there. And, nearby there was a temple with very nice Radhakrishna deities. That was like the deity worshipped by the family. And we could just imagine how Srila Prabhupada's mother would have gone there and, you know, prayed to the deity for the protection and welfare. auspicious future of her child, even when he was within the womb. The very pious culture, Vaishnav culture. And so then, after we visited the temple and the house, our guide, Agavit Prabhu, said, he took Radhanaswami and me aside, and he said, actually, that's not the real birthplace. The actual birthplace is just a little down the road. But we don't want the residents to know that we know that that's the actual birthplace. Otherwise, they'll, you know, raise the price and, you know, we're trying to, like, secretly acquire. So I'll just take the two of you, but I can't take the whole group, and we'll just quietly go. So he took us through this small gate down a little lane, like an alley, a little lane. And there are some children, you know, playing, and how they play in the streets in India. As soon as they saw us, they started pointing, Prabhupada birthplace, Prabhupada birthplace. And then their mother came out, or one of the mothers came out, and so, Prabhupada birthplace, Prabhupada's birthplace. So it was not a very well kept secret. But we saw it. We saw it, and we saw other places as well. But this line with so many illustrious spiritual masters, acharyas, really began in its essential form with Sri Madhavendra Puri, whose disappearance day is today. So it's a very important day for us. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes, Janak Maharaj. Can we give him the microphone?
I forgot the name was A. Dindanath Mahatma, A. Mathura Mahatma. I was speaking to him. But it contains it that where can I find you, O Krishna? But now I got you, don't leave me alone. This is the translation of that verse. But another verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. Kaha karu kaha pao, Sri Nanda Nandana, Tumi ora pranamata murli vadana. Where can I find the Sri Nanda Nandana? And you are my life and soul, murli vadana. So this is the mood of separation of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is always chanting this, kaha karu kaha pao. Sri Nanda Nandana. Tumi ora pranamata murli vadana. And I will recite that another verse also, which you are saying that Mahatma Puri has spoken in separation. I will recite in the evening that verse. I hope not.
Okay.
The old age, the incarnate, forget this. But this is the separation mood, and we must chant in the separation of the Lord. When all are singing, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha Asivasadi Gaurabhundavinda. And I was also chanting. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu came in my heart, and they are weeping and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. And I cannot control myself, and go behind and weeping. So it happened. You said that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, it happened to each and everybody. And I wish that.
Yes, thank you very much for sharing that mercy with us. The contrary mood is, well, you do encounter it in India. Could be other places. That I'll give one example. At the Ardha Kumbh Mela in Allahabad in 1971, a devotee, someone we didn't know, visited our camp. And we were very new in India, but we were very impressed by him because he followed the four regulative principles and he chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He seemed very, very close to our line. And so some of the devotees told Srila Prabhupada about him. And he was chanting Hare Krishna, very good. Following the four regulative principles, very good. Everything was good. And then they said that the man had said that he had seen Krishna. And then Srila Prabhupada said, oh, this is not our line. Our acharyas never say that they've seen Krishna. They're always in the mood of separation. Like the six Goswamis. He Radhe Vrajadevi Ke Chalavite He Nanda Suno Kutaha. Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vanye Kutaha. Go sansta viti sarvato rajapure kedair mahavi valo vande rupa sanatana raguya bhokshi jiva gopavako. Hey Radha, O Radharani, Rajadevi ke queen of Vrindavan, hey Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you? Are you on the side of Govardhan Hill? Or are you on the banks of the Yamuna River? And it's described that the six Goswamis were wandering all over Vrindavan, shouting out, O Radha, O Krishna, where are you? And these were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. And another important point is that we do not approach Krishna directly, but we approach him through his associates. This is even in Krishna Lila. And there's another story that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was touring South India, devotees in some place, we use the word devotee in a sort of broad term. They were saying, oh, there's a great devotee of Lord Ram. He's always chanting the holy name of Ram. He's always weeping in transcendental ecstasy. So they were really appreciating this devotee, and they wanted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to meet him. But before meeting him, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta... Oh no, he did meet him. Yeah, so he agreed, he met him, and they were discussing. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta asked him, your direction with Lord Ram, is it through one of his associates, like Lakshman or Sita or Hanuman, or is it direct? No, direct. Direct. And then afterwards, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he may be a pretender. Because even when you reach the spiritual world, you don't just show up and start serving Krishna on your own. You're placed under, you know, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So that is eternal, that being the servant of the servant of the servant. And therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Bhartu Padakabalayor Dasa Dasa Dasa. He's the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. So when we are so fortunate as to be able to approach Krishna in his pastimes, we will be placed under some of his associates. They will engage us. Like when you walk into the temple, you decide, okay, I'm going to become a devotee. Okay, I'm here. Where's the way to the deity room? It doesn't work like that. You start, okay, this is the bhakta leader or the temple commander, and you know, you do what he says, and you know, you work under his direction, and gradually he may recommend you. Oh, this devotee is doing very nicely, and then he'll, you know, introduce you to someone else, a little higher up, and he engages you, and then one day someone will say, okay, now, you know, you're initiated, you're qualified now, you can come in the deity room. But even then, you don't just suddenly start waving the incense. You'll be with some pujari who will say, you know, this is how you do it, you watch how I do it, and, you know, this is the book that explains exactly how we do it. And so we're always under superior guidance, even in the spiritual world. Yes, Kalakanta Prabhu.
Another person I might have in this world. He said, if among us all people who are upset with him since he became a he says, my family think I'm crazy, my friends think I'm frustrated, and the materialists think I'm wasting my time, and the philosophers think I'm just proud, and I don't mind. Still, I won't budge an inch from my determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, although I'm unable to do it. So my question is he's saying I'm unable to do it, another expression of separation, or reflecting what you were just talking about, he's unable to directly approach Krishna?
Yes, that is the mood of separation, that one is unable to approach Krishna's service, and feels unqualified. That's the humility, dainya. Humility that I'm in separation. Why? Because I'm not worthy of Krishna's association. But still one wants to serve Krishna in spite of one's unworthiness, and therefore one follows the orders of the superior, and more than anything, prays for mercy, feeling oneself unworthy but still desiring. Yes.
My initial question was basically about how to chant might be a good idea. Throughout the lecture, it seems like slowly with the development of Krishna consciousness, the mood of separation, we gradually start to be with the now chanting of the tree with night becomes pure. But I was thinking, can we develop that mood? Maybe artificial, or how does it come, or is it given to us by Krishna and our superior? How do we develop that time?
An excellent question. You yourself gave the answer that it is by attentive chanting, or the effort to chant attentively, that the mood develops, but in a little different way, that we begin to understand that Krishna is always there. We're chanting his holy name, he's there. But we are turning away from him. Even when we're chanting, we're trying to chant attentively. Without the effort to chant attentively, the feelings of separation won't come. So we're trying to chant attentively, but we're seeing that our mind is going here and there, and if we analyze, what's actually going on, we'll find that the underlying psychology is that I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor, I'm the controller. We analyze, what am I thinking about when I'm chanting? It usually comes to the underlying conception of being the enjoyer. Now, say I'm thinking about money. How to get money, how to preserve the money, how to increase the money. So, my mind is wandering. But what's the underlying idea? I'm the enjoyer. I'm the proprietor. I'm the controller. And that is actually Krishna's position. He's the enjoyer. He's the proprietor. He's the controller. So we confront the fact that we are trying to take Krishna's position. And then, going a little deeper, we understand that actually we have an eternal relationship with Krishna, but we turned away from him to imitate him. And so what we're trying to do is revive our relationship with him. So the feeling of separation that arises while chanting is, or begins at least, from the recognition that we have an eternal relationship with Krishna, that Krishna is always there. He's perfect. He reciprocates with us perfectly. But we, for some unknown reason, turned away from him and came into material consciousness. And so now we want to go back to him. I mean, it would be something like, you know, a child runs away from home, and after trying to enjoy outside of the home, starts to realize, you know, I made a mistake. I'm really in a very bad situation. Starts to think of over what happened. You know, at the time of running away, you know, the child is like convinced, you know, I have to get out of the house, and these people, and whatever, stifling me or don't love me. And they start to see things differently, like actually, you know, my parents loved me, they were, you know, doing their best. I couldn't appreciate it. I was so foolish and ignorant and wild. And it's like a type of separation. I want to go back home. I want to, you know, be with my parents again. And that comes from attentive hearing, the effort to chant and hear attentively. There's different, it's analyzed by Sri Rupa Goswami, it's also quoted by Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's different types of separation. And then, you know, Prabhupada says this is a science. I mean, everything is very minutely analyzed and categorized. So, one type of separation is a geographical separation, like short, say, the gopis are in the village of Vrindavan, and Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys take the cows out to pasture. So there's separation, but it's short. Another one, Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura. It's also a geographic separation, but it's long. And one is called Purvarag. Purvarag means the separation that one feels before having met Krishna. You know, when we are fortunate enough to take birth in Vrindavan, where Krishna is having his pastimes. Again, we'll take birth in some, you know, from a gopi. Older gopi, not young gopi. And then, you know, we'll hear talks about Krishna. You know, from people who've actually seen him, that, oh, he looks so beautiful, and you see his peacock feather. And so by hearing the talks about Krishna, we will become attracted. And then the even more intimate, talking about his loving dealings with his devotees, and we become more attracted. And so we're like feeling separation, that's Purvarag, that wanting to meet Krishna. And so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Purvarag is the type of separation that devotees in the material world can experience. It's just like, on the most, take a very mundane example, you know, someone will discover a good restaurant, and then he'll tell his friends, you know, oh, I discovered this good restaurant, and the decor is like this, and the, you know, the food. food is like this, my service is like this, and you hear about it, and, I want to go there too. So, and even Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when you plan a vacation, you know, plan a trip, you hear about the place first. And by hearing about the place, you develop a desire to go there. Like the family in St. Lucia. Devamrita Swami came to visit me in Santa Barbara, and he had spent some time there, and he said, "Oh, I met this most wonderful family. They're on this Caribbean island, St. Lucia, and their house overlooks the ocean, and the water is so clear and blue, and it's just a little distance from the house, and they have a wonderful service attitude. They take care of whatever you need. They don't put any demands on you, and the wife is a fabulous cook." And so by hearing, I developed the desire to go, and then I went. And then when I left, that was like a different type of separation after having met them and been there. I think every devotee experiences that. I mean, when you began the question, even when I was speaking, I didn't mention it, but I thought of book distribution. That, you know, Prabhupada wanted his books to be distributed. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says he wanted book distribution, and then the same instruction has come to us through Srila Prabhupada. And I've heard many stories of devotees who were really afraid, like the first time they went out, like how they approach people. And I think Satchinandan Swami says, like, he was like a very shy person, and he was like filled with trepidation. How is he going to get up the courage to actually approach someone? And then what if they don't like you, or what if they, you know, reject you or insult you or challenge you? It's like, that's natural. That's natural. I mean, I think the first direct service I got from Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't exactly directly from him to me, but he wanted us to take his books to bookstores. He wanted us to put his books in bookstores. And so the temple president, Satsvarupa Das, then, somehow he thought I might be a good person because I just graduated from the university. And so, like, he wrote Prabhupada, it was like the first time I did any, special service for Srila Prabhupada that he was aware of. And it was the same thing. I was nervous. I wasn't sure what was going to happen when I went into the store, what they would say, how I would respond. But what enabled me to do it, and I'm sure it's true of everyone who does book distribution or whatever the service is they are thinking of Guru and Krishna and chanting and praying, and they feel they're not alone. And they feel, you know, Prabhupada wants this, you know. And so he is with me and he will help me. Otherwise, if it's just us alone, we couldn't do anything. We're not alone. right, thank you very much. We'll meet again in the evening. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimadavendra Puri ku ki jai. Hare Krishna.